gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club. Please give it up for your hosts, Dave Bennett and Pete LePay.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out. Really appreciate it. Give it up for Ronnie Rotten in the booth.
Sorry for the late start, but Ronnie Rotten just kept messing with us.
Yeah, he was playing with our emotions.
Yeah, he's our new nemesis.
Well, that's right. And speaking of playing with emotions, this is very exciting because Justin and Alex aren't here. Yeah!
Woo! It's Pete's show, everybody.
I get to run shit.
Yeah.
Guys, I hope you're ready. We're going to do a four-hour presentation on why the Punisher is the greatest superhero of all times.
Okay.
All right? I've got a PowerPoint ready. There's going to be pie charts and graphs. It's going to be very engaging.
Pete, we only have this space for an hour. I do apologize. Fuck.
All right. Yeah. All right. Fine.
For those of you who don't know me, which is probably all of you except my wife here.
Yeah.
I'm Dave. All you need to know about me is that I've known Pete for over 20 years.
That's true.
I lived with him for 8 of those years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we still talk.
The groans say it.
Yeah.
So I have lots of stories to share.
Yeah. And, I'm excited. We're going to get to those.
It's going
to
be a weird show.
It's going to be a weird show. I hope everybody's ready. We're going to buckle up. And speaking of people who've known me for a long time, our first guest, also an old friend, but he hosts a podcast similar to ours, and in the fact that it's very nerdy, it is Friends Talking Nerdy. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Noel McIntosh.
Yeah, give it up for Noel.
Noel, welcome to the stage, sir. Grab a seat, grab a microphone. It's fantastic that we're all here together. So, Noel, tell us about this podcast for those who don't know, if they can't guess by the title, what it might be about.
Well, Friends Talking Nerdy is a podcast that really is about us talking nerdy. We really geek out on a lot of things, like the same way you guys geek out on comic books. We geek out on films, anime, all that good nerdy shit out there.
Cool.
All right.
Now, you were a late addition, right? Like, they first asked you to be a guest and then loved you so much, they were like, we want you to host.
It was that or blackmail footage, but yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, just got real.
Actually, the podcast was started with one of my friends for another job that I work for, won't say. And the head host interviewed me. I have a history. I used to live in Los Angeles. She used to do film sound back in my days. Mm-hmm. We started talking, got a good interview going. They asked you back a couple weeks later, and me and the host, Tim, we did like a best 80s movies, and we just kind of riffed on all the best 80s movies out there.
Ooh.
What is the best 80s?
Yeah, what is the best
80s?
In your professional opinion. Now, to give your resume a little bit, you said you worked in L.A.
Yes.
You worked on The Matrix.
Yes.
You worked on, what else? What else did you do?
I worked on 8 Mile.
Wow.
Red Planet. Well, actually, I worked on The Matrix Trilogy, all 3 movies.
Okay.
Go, a Doug Liman movie, good one.
Nice.
And the first one I worked on was a movie called Top of the World or Cash Cow. It had Peter Weller, the late Dennis Hopper,
ooh,
Joey Pantilone, Palatino, I think his name is that way. Tia Carrera, Peter Coyote, and who else? David Allen Greer was in it. So this was like my first ever film I worked on. I was like,
damn,
whoa, this is...
Welcome to L.A.
I moved on up in the world. So yes.
Nice. Yeah. Now, okay, so the question on the table was, mm-hmm, best 80s movie. Go.
Wow, that's put me on the spot there. It's tough because we broke... I geeked out about it and listed all my films based on the years. So, like, Back to the Future was one.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm a big Iron Eagle fan, so that's a good movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Chappie. Better than Top Gun?
Chappie.
You know what? It's different because, you know, those two films...
I would say,
you know,
Iron Eagle for me.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of women, like, masturbated to the volleyball scene, so that was, like...
Wow, and men. Don't be so heteronormative, Pete. I mean...
You're right. That's... Okay. You're right. I'm checking my privilege, and I'm sorry. I like, that was a big movie, but, like, to me, I rewatched Iron Eagle a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, I have it on DVD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was walking home, walking out in the afternoon, and there's a yard sale, and I was like, is that Iron Eagle for like $5? done. So, you know, especially on DVDs, you got to turn over. So one side is like widescreen and one is like full screen.
You're really explaining DVDs to people.
Hey.
So yeah, I've never felt more old in my life.
I know. We may have millennials in the audience.
Yeah, we may. Yeah, we may. Yeah. There might be millennials listening at home. Bless your hearts. Young, beautiful hearts. Now, I hope Big Trouble in Little China was on that list.
Yes, it was.
Okay, because that's my jam. That's my list.
Shut up, Mr. Barton. As man.
Yeah, and they're going to do a comic of that, right?
Yeah, they've done a comic of it.
Oh,
wow. It's great. Yeah.
Rumor had it that supposedly they were going to redo it with The Rock, but that just was...
Boo.
Yeah, well...
Wow, did you just boo The Rock?
Yeah, I did boo The Rock. I love The Rock in a lot of things.
Gasp in the audience.
I mean, I've watched Walking Tall more times than I should admit, but like...
more times in the volleyball scene in Top Gun.
Foro, it's great to have you back, man. There's so many great, because like to me, like action movies and like the 80s go hand in hand. Like they're hilarious to watch now, but at the time I took them those so seriously. And it was like our friend Maddie Love had explained to me, no, Roadhouse isn't as great as you remember. And I was like, I kind of remember it being the greatest movie. And then I rewatched it and I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, but you know, it's a good 80s movie. It's a good one. You know, gotta be nice.
Doesn't he rip people's throats?
Yeah, he rips off people's throats.
I mean, it seems
that's
like right
my
up
life
your
motto. Yeah. Yeah, like, that's how I live my life. But yeah, it was like,
till it's time to not be nice.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Remember, it's just a job, nothing personal.
I thought you would be taller. That was like, oh, as a short man, I really love that line. So cool. I'm glad that you're doing that podcast. That's awesome. I'm glad that you have an outlet for your nerddom.
Yeah, it was. I'm sorry to cut you off just real quick. What's good about doing podcasts like this or your show is that there's so much diversity out there in terms of geeking and nerding stuff out. So before you had just one kind of portal, but now it branches out. So the fact that I found kind of a cool outlet to talk about these 80s movies and not say, wow, I'm not the only weirdo out there. Mm-hmm. And then breaking it down to action and really geeking out about it is cool. And it's just with comic books. So one of the things about the show that I like is we really talk about that. And then we're getting really diverse. So now we're getting more into African-American kind of nerdiness, which is really not talked about as much. There was a Black Comic-Con in New York this year where it just was just everyone geeking out about that. So that's one awesome. Thing that's really nice about doing podcasts or shows is that the avenues are out there now where it doesn't make a difference regardless of who or what you are. There's an avenue for you to geek out, and there's someone just like you saying, oh, I'm not alone. And once you kind of get that, you know, that you see that, it's like, okay, good. This is, I can be myself and be this geek and get into really detailed arguments about, you know, why, you know, I mean, why is Top, Top Gun better than Iron Eagle? And, you know, it's
Iceman
all these things.
Is the answer.
So. What's the answer?
Iceman.
Iceman is the answer? Yeah. No, there's two O's in Goose.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Chappie all the way. So Iron Eagle for me.
Yeah, I am mad at you, dude. You know, Louis Gossett Jr. is, I mean, the guy's magic.
Chappie Sinclair.
Speaking of outlets and vehicles to geek out on, we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
So we're going to talk about three comics that I'm very excited to talk about. And my three guests have read them. And we'll there's three of us.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll let it go.
I'm not good at numbers. You both know that. Three comics and two guests. And we're going to talk about the comics that we read and thought would be fun to talk about. So first comic I want to talk about, surprise, is going to be Punisher number one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the odds of you not talking about that one?
Now, some of you listening at home might be like, hey, what the fuck, Pete? You already talked about this on a previous episode. Well, guess what? I'm in control, and I didn't feel like we covered it enough. So we're going to revisit, because this is a new Punisher number one. We have a new team taking over the book, which I was very nervous about when you love something, you get worried about when it has different parents, you know, and are these parents going to love the right things about this child? Or are they going to try to push their own agenda on this kid, you know?
Right.
Try to make them something the Punisher's not.
Right.
You know, I mean, the last time I was upset at the Punisher was because he looked like an anime cartoon. And I was like, who is this 16-year-old kid running around with guns?
Yeah.
Yeah. But... so we all read this. This, to me, really cool. Great take. I also really liked how the Punisher, it sounds weird from an old guy, but the Punisher's old. He's a grizzled, older dude.
He knows what a DVD is.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to explain it to him. If you were like, yo, cassette take, he would be like, yeah, I get you. I know what you're talking about. Which I'm happy about, which sounds weird to say out loud. Also, what they did with this comic, which is cool. For those, I should mention, Matt Rosenberg is the writer, and Kudransky is the last name of the artist. And that was the only part I could pronounce.
Also not good with words.
Yep.
Numbers or words.
Numbers or words. Wow. Great with rage.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad
yeah.
with other things.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. You, sir, are the master of rage.
Oh,
that's
thank
correct.
You. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. Waited my whole life for someone to recognize that. So what's cool also about this comic is they kind of treat the Punisher a little bit like Jaws, where you don't see Jaws for a while in the movie. You kind of get this buildup of the villains and what's going on, and it's like, oh, shit, when's he going to show up? Makes a big entrance, shooting a bunch of people. Oh, beautiful. You know, and also what's great is Matt here is not scared about taking chances, takes the dude out right away, like a big the Mandarin villain you might have heard of, dead.
Wow.
Punisher shoots him, which is great because, like, I didn't like the Mandarin.
No, who does?
You know, he's a bad guy. He should probably die. So it's nice to see that the Punisher took him out. And, yeah, it's just filled with a lot of action. But what's great is it's like a light sprinkling of the Punisher just when you're needed. You know, it's not Punisher, like, just sitting there looking at his guns and bullets. Like, they use him in a dramatic way that really helps fuel the story, which I really appreciate. It's, and then you get fun. Just,
yeah, that's the page.
Yeah,
that's when just, you know it's a Punisher comic.
Yeah, that's when it's like, oh, that's whose book this is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of fun. And then you're like, all right, but Pete, I don't like all the double spread. Well, then you get some, you know, single panel murdering. So kind of covers all the bases. And I'm sorry for hogging the mic here, guys. What are your thoughts?
No, I mean, as you know, I'm also a big Punisher fan. Friends with you, I better be, right?
Yeah.
You don't like Punisher, just
and
you're
I
fucked.
I was also nervous, but not disappointed. I mean, they got all the marks. They got the big splash page of him with two guns with no words.
Yep.
Easy for people like you to understand what's going on. Yeah.
I get it. I don't have to reread it, which I appreciate. You know,
you're like, oh, he's shooting people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the layout was great, and the story I mean, it starts off like you said, like, don't show the monster too early, right?
Yep.
And then it just builds up to this assassination of the Mandarin, and then keeps going.
Yeah.
So
that's like there's more to it, which is great. It's like,
yeah,
if you thought that was cool, hang in.
I was not disappointed at all. I think they did a great job with it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm worried about the pace. Like, are we going to get, like, a villain dying every issue? That would be crazy.
Yeah. And there's Tony Stark shows up.
Yeah. Tony.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I kind of liked it because it's the Punisher. It's what I expected. Little talk, a lot, especially back in the days of Punisher, we see the butta, 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 butta. It's like, yeah, he's just killing people. And it's like, that's what he does best. And, you know, it's kind of good seeing the Mandarin look normal, still trying to erase the Mandarin from the movie out of your head, which was just like, when I saw it, I was like, wow, they really just fucked up this character. Because, you know, the Mandarin. Mandarin's like, got the ring, he's more powerful. This is kind of like, okay. And I see the panel shots, it's like, oh, wow, he's going to fucking... he fucking killed a Mandarin. I was like, God damn, that's Punisher. That's the one thing about Punisher is it's always him killing. And hey, that sounds morbid, and it is, but that's a comic book reality. You know,
in
fact.
The Punisher's defense, he's killing bad guys. You know, he's not just killing random people, which I appreciate. He takes his time, makes sure they're bad, and then goes, "You don't deserve to be here anymore." And I appreciate that about him.
Wait,
you
does he take his time though?
Yeah, he's making like, "Who should I kill? I'm not just going to kill anybody. I want to kill the worst of the worst." Okay,
all right.
Yeah. Well, he is one focused individual.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
I also love about the Punisher is that he's kind of driven mad, you know, because of the loss of his family, you know.
And
it says a lot about how much he loved that it meant so much to him that it kind of drove him towards this mission of like, I'm going to try to right all the wrongs so that people living in this world won't have to deal with all this harshness. I'm going to try to make it a little better.
He actually smiles in a panel in this one, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, it was. And at first, if you would have said, "Hey, you excited for this new Punisher?" He smiles. I've been like, "Fuck you, what?" but it comes across really well done. It's like a nice. He's kind of in his happiest place when he's shooting. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's
he's driven mad, like you said.
Yeah.
A little bit of Joker to him.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little.
Yeah.
Keep it interesting. Great. We'll move on with the next book we're going to talk about, which is Black Panther number 3. T. Coates.
Ta-Nehisi Coates. I mean, how can you go wrong?
I mean, yeah. I mean, the guy is an award-winning writer writing Black Panther, so, like, amazing. Also makes the fun choice. He wrote the last arc on Black Panther. This arc, it's Black Panther in space. Yeah. Because when you think about it, Wakanda would be like, okay, but what else is out there? Because there's so much in science and like technology, I feel like it is kind of a smart move that they would want to explore the galaxy. And it doesn't seem as crazy as saying like Black Panther in space. It kind of makes sense, and it's really well done. The art's fantastic. I would like to say, though, the backgrounds, like it starts off with really elaborate backgrounds, and then when action starts happening, there's just no backgrounds. Because I feel like they're like, well, we're kind of tired.
Oh.
You know, like there's just no backgrounds in any of the panels for a while. It's like, all right, that's cool, but, you know, that's probably not really what it's like. But it just focuses on the action, which is fine. I mean, I'm very much nitpicking, but... it's fantastic. Black Panther, amazing character, and I feel like they're doing a really good job and putting it in the hands of such an acclaimed writer. So, I mean, smart move on Marvel's part.
Yeah, I mean, I love the resurgence of this character, too. I feel like he didn't get his due for a while there until the movie came out, really. Yeah.
What was great was it got real popular. BET did kind of like a motion cartoon based off, I think his name is Hudlin's run, which was really great. And that was kind of like a back to basics with it. And then, after the movie came out, I mean, jeez, movie was just phenomenal.
Yeah. $1 billion film.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Top 10 grossing of all time.
Damn straight.
Number 9. It's just absolutely glorious. If you're not picking up what's wrong with you, please check it out.
And spoiler alert, Manifold shows up.
Yeah, the Manifold.
We looked up, and he was on the list of the top 50 sexiest male characters.
In comics. So, ladies, or dudes, if you're into that.
There you go. He's learning.
If you're looking for a little bit more sex appeal.
Manifold.
Manifold. He's got a lot of folds for, I don't know what I'm doing. because it's that kind of like, it was funny because I was sitting next to you when you were reading it, and you were like, should I know the Manifold? And I had that same reaction of like, oh shit, the Manifold. Bold.
Who the fuck is
the Manifold? Oh, right. That guy.
Top 50.
Yeah, top 50, though. Yeah. I mean, that's the real. That's
we
what we're really.
We find out who number one next week.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe next time you're back.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So the next book we're going to talk about is Batman Detective Comics number 987. essential issue. And this. Batman is got a team. And
let me just hop in here.
Yeah, please.
Batman is on a team again. Mm-hmm. And every page he's like, I got this. I'm going to do it alone.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you keep joining teams, Batman?
It's like, hey, sit this one out. I got it. But Batman, you just put me on this team. And I feel like,
I got this, Pete. Shut up.
Coach, I'm ready, though. I'm
no,
stretching.
Sit over there. Drink your coffee.
Damn it, Batman.
I just assembled this team for people to watch me.
I want people to see me doing cool stuff. So I have this team of people that I never use.
Nobody. But they do. They jump in. Mm-hmm. To Batman's chagrin.
Yep.
And it made me laugh that he's always on a team and he's always wanting to do it himself.
Right.
But isn't his always his MO? You know, he gets the other team is like, all right, yeah, but like you guys don't seem to get it. Let me do my thing.
Right.
Well, he is the world's greatest detective, so he's kind of like, you should not do anything. I'm going to take care of this.
But you asked us here. It's like, you know,
He's the world's greatest detective.
He's the world's greatest detective, you know?
Better than Sherlock Holmes, you'd say?
Yep.
Wow. All right.
That's not me that's saying that. That's you know, comics. That's his deal in DC Comics, yeah.
All right.
I mean, it would be fun to... You should write that, dude. A little Sherlock and Batman. Go ahead.
Sherlock, I got this.
Watson, why the fuck are you here? There is no need for you.
I'm just going to batarang this guy.
But yeah, a fun kind of reveal that Brainiac is going to be going up against Batman. So that could be crazy. It's on the cover. You know?
Yep,
so man. I don't mean to spoil it. It's on the cover. So yeah. In the last couple of runs, the last couple of issues of Batman Detective has been... dealing with his team and his kind of like team falling apart and then reforming a new team. You know, a lot of people are arguing with Batman's leadership styles.
I mean,
shocker.
Not the greatest.
Yeah. You know, he's a loner. The guy's a loner. So yeah, I thought it was handled really well. So I don't know, man, this book, as much as I'd like to, we're having fun with it. It's still a fantastic read.
Agreed.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of weird with comic books. If you don't follow along with a while, you come in, it's like, what the fuck?
You mean just picking up 987?
Exactly.
And you're not like, easy?
He's like, far from it. But no, I mean, just the way that Batman's arc and style goes, it fits. It, you know, you know what's going to happen. And when it happens, it's worth it. So yeah. You know.
It is. It delivers.
Yes, it does.
And then lastly, I just want to give a shout out to Beasts of Burden, which was one of my favorite titles a while back when Jill Thompson was doing the art. She just paints these amazing pictures on the page. But we got a new team on this, and I'm just hoping that the creator is getting a piece of the action. Because I know she's not on this one, but hopefully, like, she just sits back and collects checks, because this was her baby. But I'm just excited that this book is back. It's a fun, creative book where it's like, what if dogs really ran shit and had powers? And
yeah, but they're talking to, like, I didn't like this one as much.
Yeah,
they're talking to each other,
right?
And they all kind of have the same personality.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you wanted like? Do you want to make sense? Like, if you got different kinds of dogs, different kinds of personalities.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. I mean, it's valid.
I mean, so were they actually talking, or like, was it thought bubbles?
No, they're talking.
Yeah, they're talking to each other, which would be barking to us.
Oh, yeah. See, I wondered about that. Would it be though?
Yeah, dude. Okay. Have you heard a dog talk? No.
I mean, Bush's baked beans. That dog talks all the time. Like, I don't know.
Bush's baked beans, very much in continuity here.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Really? I was thinking like Scooby-Doo. Or,
exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Or was it Astro?
More sense.
Or Astro from Jetsons, you know. Oh,
wow. You've got a nice,
talking dog repertoire.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Noel knows his stuff, man. You should check out his podcast. Cool. And that wraps up the stack.
Woo.
Yeah, cool. Brings us to the next thing I want to talk about, which is one of the reasons that I assembled this team.
What are we the Avengers?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. You are.
Wait. The Ithaca College Avengers? So like is the East Coast, West Coast? So the IC Avengers?
Avengers?
Yeah, the IC Avengers. The Single Sport Alpha. We got to assemble. You know.
Zelvin couldn't be here, and Justin is just had a baby. Congratulations to Justin. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Had a baby girl. I'm sure he'll be talking about it.
Well, he didn't, but his wife did. So congrats to her as well.
There we go.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Touche. My bad. They had a baby. Justin and Molly. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's doing good. When they told me that they couldn't do the show, I was like, I want to do a show. And one of the main reasons I wanted to do a show was to thank the people who come to the show and thank the people who listen online, our Patreon supporters and backers. But also in real life, thank two of my best friends who are the reason that I'm in New York City doing what I am doing. I wanted to take a moment, acknowledge that 4-0, a.k.a. Dave Bennett, a.k.a. the 40 Ounces of Love, was the first guy we met at Ithaca College. 4-0 was like, yo, fuck this college shit. I'm going to New York City and start doing some acting work and get this real life started.
Here I am, yep. Drinking a beer on stage at the Pit.
Yep, and killing it.
Paid off.
And I called him, was like, yo, can I crash on your couch, bro, and like check out New York City? And basically ruined a relationship that he was in.
Yeah.
Because it was two people in a one-bedroom apartment in Harlem, and I showed up with all my shit.
And a lot of comics.
Was the guy in the couch, yeah, with my comics. And
Dragon Ball Z VHS.
Yeah, and I'm a lot to deal with and to have maybe a little bit of a drinking/smoking problem. And single-handedly ruined that relationship, which now I'm glad I ruined because I hated her. well, she would steal his fries and, like, lots of other things. That was a microcosm of their horrible relationship.
Can I tell that story?
Yeah, please.
Can I tell that first Pete story?
Yeah.
So, Pete went to Burger King with my girlfriend at the time. And Pete was a big fan of the Rodeo Burger because it was only $1 and it's got barbecue sauce on it.
Right.
And for those of you who know Pete, he loves barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Or just anything with the words barbecue in it.
Yep.
Yep.
And so they're walking back to the house, and my girlfriend at the time was eating my French fries. Yep. And Pete observed this and said, yo, are you eating Dave's fries? And she said, yeah, he won't notice. And yeah, well, ooh. Okay. All right. And then like a day later, Pete sat me down. This really happened.
Whoa.
On a milk crate, which was our chair at the time. And he's like, hey man, I got to talk to you about something. And I was like, oh, this is serious. Like this is real.
Probably the first real serious conversation we've ever had.
Yeah. He's like, I want to let you know that yesterday, Betsy ate your fries, man. And I was like, oh, that's cool. He's like, what?
I was like, I don't think you heard me. She ate your fries.
Yeah.
And then lied to you about it.
Yeah. He was pissed. But that's the loyalty of Pete LePage.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's all right. It's a good story.
Yeah.
I'm very, very protective of my friends. Noel, I met my freshman year. I didn't meet 4-0 till sophomore year. My freshman year, I met, and we became friends right away because you were running a radio show.
Yeah, I was at the college. I did a jazz show from 12 to Dune.
You can hear that sultry voice right there.
Yeah, got real deep down.
Give it to him. Give him a little of the taste of the, do the whole.
Oh, you want me to do the
yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's see. It was 92 WICB's Jazz Impressions.
Yeah.
So.
And then later I did the Jazz Funk Show, so I'd be like 92 WICB Jazz Funk.
Yeah.
And you gave me the 6 to 7 a.m. on Sunday slot.
Yeah.
Which was after Broadway show tunes from 5 to 6. And I was like, welcome to
Yeah, it was some good times.
Is anyone even listening to this? Yeah.
But the funny part was like, so I knew I wanted to be doing like radio and television and that kind of stuff. So I was real excited. And they were like, all right, well, we'll have you shadow a couple shifts and see where you want to fit in. And so like I went to the first shift was a modern rock shift and they had all the lights on. And there was this white dude just like running around, like all cracked out, like, yeah, we're going to fucking play more Smashing Pumpkins. And I was just like, what the fuck? This is so intense. And then they were like, all right, if you don't like that, then, you know, why don't you check out the jazz shift? So I showed up. All the lights were off. Noel was fully reclined and just brought the mic to himself. He had shades on in the dark. And the only light was from the light board. And he was just like, yeah, what's up? I was like, hi, new best friend.
You know, Pete, it's funny. Every time you tell this story, I was sitting up, then I'm laying back, now I'm the only way back. I'm going to be levitating next one.
Maybe. It's so clear in my mind that you were fully lounged. So I wanted to have you guys on and thank you for being such amazing friends throughout the years. Mm. And also,
I feel like you're buttering us up for something.
I am buttering you up.
This is a lot of love. Thank you, audience.
Hey, Pete, are you okay, man? Things are well?
Yeah, what's going on?
So, something happening?
Listen, Noel, somebody stole your frogs.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, there's the
reaction. Did you beat him up? Did you knock him out?
I reached out to the people, and we're going to have audience questions where you guys can ask questions. And I asked, like, okay, if we're going to have my friends on the show, what would you want to know about me? Or what would do you want to hear stories? What do you want to know? And so these are some of the responses I got, and you guys can answer them.
Can't wait.
Okay.
Bring them on.
All right, so shocking. First one is shocking Pete moments, like the type that made you question whether you truly knew who this guy was, or your favorite Pete story.
Ooh.
Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first. I'm trying to think of the ones that I could really talk about that won't get me or Pete in trouble
years down the line. Yeah.
Well, don't worry about me. Worry about you. I don't care.
Okay, then. So it's one time, you rob a bank, and no. It's nothing like that. No.
Mine involves comics, so it's very appropriate.
Great.
And I'm going to make you tell it.
Oh.
Because Pete.
I know what you're going to say.
Committed the number one sin.
Yep. Yep.
And stole a comic from man.
Yeah, that's right. What sucks about this story is I can't, like, I'd be like, oh no, you don't understand, like, I was just a dick. So here's the thing. Okay. I am really into comics. It's a little bit into comics.
Justification here.
I'm trying to justify as much as possible. So I'm a huge Wolverine fan, as we all know. And so there was this arc where Wolverine lost his adamantium. He just had bones for claws. And it was fucking whack for a long time. And then he got his claws back. And I raced to the fucking comic book store. And they had sold out of the first run of it. So if you got the first run, on the cover was him, like, you know, showing his claws. And the first run, it was gold. On the second run, they were silver. And then on the third and, like, later, it was just black. So I got a silver one. I got home, and I was so excited. And I was like, Farrell, fucking look. And he had a gold one. And I was like, oh, shit. And so, like...
So not only did you steal it, but you Indiana Jones'd it. You, like...
Yeah. I just, when you weren't looking, swapped it out. Yeah.
Wow.
And then what was fucked up is the first time you co-host with me...
Yep.
I brought it up on the show, and you were thinking like, oh, he's going to give me the comic back.
Right.
And Pete was like, moving on to the stack. And there was like no comic to be seen. Yeah, so I'm stuck with the silver,
yeah,
which is fine, I guess, if you like being a thief,
yeah, wow,
of comics. Yeah. But, you know, it's no French fries, I guess.
Oh, cold as ice. So,
well, I mean, listen.
Yeah, it was fucked up. It was probably the most fucked up thing I've ever... No. I have a younger brother.
That was a hard question, and most of my stories involve your loyalty. So that one, that's the only one I have about what's really surprised me about you.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I got it graded and sealed.
Wow.
Great. The next question is, what was my best misunderstanding? Like, what?
Wait, should Noel tell his?
Oh, wait. Do you have one or do you want to move on?
It's a drinking story.
Okay, great.
With us, it's always drinking stories, usually.
Sure.
Right?
Sure, sure.
So there used to be a bar we used to go to called Plan B. Rest in peace, Plan B.
Oh, yeah.
Plan B was a local neighborhood bar where we would go watch Yankees games, mm-hmm, or get ossified, and I mean ossified drunk. And
well, in our defense,
yes,
we lived right around the corner, so it wasn't like we were putting anybody in danger by driving or like having you on the train. Like, we would just stumble home.
Literally, yeah.
Like doors.
Kind of like when you walk in zigzagging, yeah, like that. Yeah. So we're there watching the Yankees game, and this regular comes in, and Pete goes, I fucking hate this guy. And I said, Pete, what do you do? He said, no, I just fucking hate him. I said, dude's a nice guy. You know, fuck. All right. So we're sitting at the bar, and Yankees game was on, and he's a Philadelphia fan. So the Philly game was another TV screen, and I think he just went by Pete, and Pete was just like, I fucking hate him, Noel. I just hate him. And I said, dude, I mean, you know, he's just a drunk dude. I mean, he wasn't like saying, oh, fuck your mom. He's like, no, Noel, I just hate the guy. And I'm like, Pete, he's like, no, Noel, I fucking hate him. I was like, okay, you fucking hate him. I get the point. I got it.
This is the rage issues we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So every time we would go to this bar, he comes in, he goes, fuck. Like, there's one time the bar is crowded. Pete sits on the other side of me to avoid talking to him. Guy says hi to him. He goes, yeah. And this just keeps on. It's like, I fucking hate him. I was like, God damn, Pete, just fucking hate the guy. But yeah, in your defense, after a while, I know him. Yeah, he was a fucking asshole. So
he was an asshole. Thank you.
He was an asshole.
He was one of those guys who would show up and know that we liked a certain team. So he would just start talking shit about that team just to watch us get angry. And plus, he's older. So like, he was like, he knew I wasn't good, although I probably would have. But like, if he pushed me enough, he was playing the fact that like, oh, I'm an old dude. You're not going to punch me in the face. You know, and just kept like pushing our buttons and enjoying the fact that like he would just ruin games.
Well, yeah, I just kind of, I said, Peterson Norm, ah, fuck that dude. I'm like, okay, man, fuck that dude.
It's hard to ignore someone who's being an asshole.
That's true.
All right, second question.
It is
fun to get you riled up, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It took me a while to realize that it was enjoyable for other people. I was really slow to that, which sucked. What was my best misunderstanding? Like, what did I get the angriest about in a situation where I was completely wrong? But I guess it doesn't matter.
Best misunderstanding. You know, I can't, besides you thinking that I would care so much about the French fries and not about the comic book, was a good one. But I don't have one other than the time you locked yourself out of the apartment because you went to take pictures of the Shaft movie site.
Right.
At 7 a.m.
Yeah, because we were living in Harlem and they turned...
Lennox Lounge.
The Lennox Lounge was shut down. And because of the Shaft movie, they redid the whole thing, and it looked amazing. And so it was wintertime, and I ran outside because you came in, because you were working at Starbucks at the time. You were like, yo, they're shooting at the Lennox Lounge.
Right. This is 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
And in the winter.
I went running out in my fucking pajamas.
In his pajamas.
With my camera. and was taking pictures of the set and everything.
And the camera was not a cell phone at the time.
No, this
we're very
was before,
old.
Yeah, this was like the disposable cameras. And then you had left for work.
Yep.
And it was winter. And the only thing I could do was curl up next to the door because there was a little bit of heat coming out. And I had to wait like 8 hours for you to get home from
you
work.
You slept in the vestibule for 8 hours wow. in your pajamas in the middle of winter in Harlem
yeah.
because you went to take pictures of Shaft.
Yeah.
And those pictures didn't even come out.
No, they didn't. No,
that was.
But that movie did save the Lennox Lounge for a couple of years.
Yeah. True. Yeah, I did.
All right,
yeah.
So there's a positive outcome. Yeah,
but it's gone now.
I don't know what the misunderstanding of that story
was. Yeah, just misunderstanding how to work things or to be smart.
I know, we're running low on time here.
Yeah, we are. Okay, favorite Pete story, what they think is the most important attribute, what is the quintessential characteristic that makes you?
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, I'll answer. There's another one while you guys are thinking about it, just for time. Someone is asking me about the new X-23 comic. How do you feel about Laura going back to being X-23 instead of Laura? It feels like it's a step backwards. She really came into her own with the all-new Wolverine book. I couldn't agree more. All-new Wolverine, because Wolverine was dead for a little while. He's coming back. They had to be this amazing badass woman, X-23. If you saw Logan, you know what I'm talking about. The comic was even better. It was just taking this character that had so much rage, but having her make smarter choices than Wolverine would make. And it was just so much more powerful and more passionate, which was amazing. And now it seems like since Wolverine's coming back, they're kind of downgrading her to X-23. After she went through this amazing story arc. Now, I don't want to shit on the team that's doing it because they did such an amazing job. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but it doesn't sound good, which is upsetting because it's like, I love Wolverine. If you could have told me, hey, Pete, your favorite character is going to die and you're going to love the replacement more, I'd be like, fuck you. But they did an amazing job with it. So I'm nervous for what's moving forward, but I should be smart and just trust the team that's in place. The last one is, what did you think about the movie Meg? I had mentioned earlier on the podcast, I watched the movie Meg. I mean, it's an interesting premise. Like, what if Jason Statham hated one shark? I mean,
it's really speaking to your heart.
Yeah, it's like
he's like that guy in the bar.
Yeah,
This shark's an asshole.
Just keeps
I just hate him.
I fucking hate this shark.
Just hate him. Hate the shark.
I mean, part of me understands that the critics were like, "This is a horrible movie." Yeah, because it's like, why does he keep going back into the water? But if you hate
Statham or the shark,
Statham kept going back into the water.
Of course, the shark's going to be in the water.
Yeah. What was funny was you got me with that. I was like, it's like Jabberjaw. I didn't think it was bad as people said. Like, I was like, oh, this is just shut off the brain. Like, have some fun with the intense movie, which it was, and I thought it was cool. And then also, what is your ultimate theater movie candy? Ooh, ultimate theater candy?
Yeah, that's tricky.
That's a tough word because if you were like, oh, what do you like to, you know, go when you go? Twizzlers is my go-to. The ultimate makes it seem like I should be like, well, what you do is first you take some Reese's Pieces, then some popcorn, then like make one of those like.
I know people who do that. I know people who put Sour Patch Kids in the popcorn.
Oh.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I mean, part of me is like sacrilege, but part of me is like, might be tasty. and then it says, who was my favorite childhood hero? That's a good question. I would say G.I. Joe and He-Man were my favorite childhood heroes because of the messages that they gave us. But what sucked was I thought all the kids were watching this and learning from them, but it was just me. So like when I would go to school, and my bully would still beat me up. I'd be like, but did you see the last episode of G.I. Joe? We're supposed to be above all this. I would say cartoons really helped shape who I am in my thoughts and dreams. But also Grandma LePage was a badass. So wow. she was my childhood hero. Childhood heroes?
Michael Knight from Knight Rider.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a big wheel that had, it was a Knight Rider. It was a
kit. Oh, I've seen those.
Big wheel that had an e-brake.
Oh, wow. You could
pull.
I had the one with the flames that had the e-brake.
Yeah, you could power slide it in.
Oh, dude. I was so pissed when everybody was like, we're going to move on to bikes. And I was like, but big wheels? Everybody, like, why do we need to go past big wheels? Yeah. I'm just getting that fucking power slide down and, doing donuts in my driveway.
Yeah. And then I would say the Dukes of Hazzard, but then that gets complicated with, the Confederate flag. And
that's what's...
No, wait, listen, I like that show. Yeah. I didn't realize to go, oh, wow, okay. Oh, fuck.
I know, right?
Yeah. But if you could ignore that, you had Boss Hogg.
Boss Hogg.
Enos,
shooting flaming arrows out of a moving car.
Exactly. Yeah.
Always good.
Because you never know what's going to happen. What the Duke boys are going to do next? So, Duke's Hazzard. Actually, for me, it's Airwolf, actually.
Airwolf?
Whoa. Airwolf, yes, yes. Wow. I'm really dating myself.
Airwolf,
then.
Iron Eagle. Yeah, I mean, you should have gone to fight school.
Yeah.
Actually, it's funny. I was debating that when I saw Top Gun. Yeah. But then I saw it, then I was like, well, wait a minute. My dad was in the Air Force. Let me see Iron Eagle. And I was debating, and I was like, nah, fuck that. That's not going to happen.
on your dream so fast.
Yes, just like that. Just like that. No, but Airwolf was kind of funny because this was just a silly plot of a... They couldn't find this helicopter in a state, but for some reason it disappears out of nowhere and they just handle business. But, cool. It's Airwolf.
All right, we're going to open up to audience questions. Any questions you want to ask any of us about comic books, movies, TV show? Yes, first hand up guy. What is your question? What is your name?
Guy.
My name is Brandon Medina. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be greedy, but I have 6 dozen questions about The Punisher.
You picked the right show,
friend. I think he's the right guy for this. So,
one of my favorite characters, but something I've been struggling or wondering about for a while is how to handle his being a Vietnam veteran. With Captain America, there is the super soldier, the sort of sci-fi fantasy element of that. So it's like, no, he could still be, and being frozen, he could still be World War II. Punisher, how do they handle it? Damn it, I'm totally blanking on the second question. Oh, now I remember. It was, do you think the Punisher might become sort of a, I don't know, a garbage man for the Marvel U, with how things turned out with the Mandarin? Just, I don't like this villain. This villain sucks. That person, just have the Punisher get rid of him. And also, I'm pretty sure Ben Grimm and Gambit are supposed to be the handsomest men of Marvel because you talked about the top 50
sexes. Top 50 sexes.
There you go.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the Manifold, we're not saying is, he's in the top 50. Yeah, so there's plenty of room for Ben Grimm in there. First question. Yeah, it's one of those things where you kind of got to be like comics. He's been around for a long time. They used to try to update. So he wasn't in Vietnam. He was like, oh, he's in the Gulf War. Oh, he's in the, it's just the history of the character. So that doesn't really bother me as
but
much.
But there's a little bit of a PTSD there. I mean, as far as like...
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be a Marine. He's got to be from,
Special Forces.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I think that when the Marvel show, Marvel caught it very well because it fit into the whole storyline of what was going on. So... kind of like with, like you said before, sir, with the being the garbage character, you can put so much good stuff with him, it moves along. So because this character is such a kick-ass character, you have to give a reason why is this kick-ass. Once you lay that in, I mean, it's just open the floodgates.
We were talking a little bit about childhood. I thought the garbage man was the coolest job as a kid because, all of us suckers were riding around in cars, but garbage men got to ride on the outside of cars.
Oh.
And I was like, oh.
And everyone who threw away their big wheel, you got to keep.
I would just be able to get everybody's big wheel. But, yeah, I know what you mean. Because Mandarin has a little bit of, he's kind of like... his origin story is racist and shit like that. So why not kill him off? I wouldn't be mad if the Punisher got to kill all the old racist villains.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's now nowadays, now that it's the comic films and TV shows, when done correctly, are moneymakers. It's, you know, I mean, it runs the gambit. I mean, hopefully you won't get to the point where it's so oversaturated, but it's getting starting to get there where it's like, okay, what other less known character? Like, I'm waiting for Rom. Like, I mean, you guys remember Rom, right? You guys remember Rom, the Space Knight?
If it's not Manifold, I don't know. Okay.
So, like I'm waiting to hear that announcement. Yeah, you know, Rom is coming out. It's like, wow, they're really digging deep into the barrel now. So.
Cool. Awesome. Yes, you, sir, second row.
All right.
Sorry, my cords only go so far.
Another Punisher question.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Pete, this is your night, man. Yeah. Punisher.
You gotta literally eat the mic. That's the problem. You gotta put it in your lip.
Concerning the fact that, okay, he killed the Mandarin, news to me. Do you think it almost sort of reminds me a bit of the Punisher kills the Marvel Universe, although for different reasons. And how do you think this sort of relates or compares to, say, Garth Ennis's run on the Punisher? Is it done out of like a being tired with the superhero genre in Garth Ennis's case, or how does it?
It's a good question. I mean, when you're, Matt, who's just taking up the kind of Punisher altar, has to go up against kind of the greats, which some people want to immediately compare and contrast to. I think there's room for everybody's take on the character, you know. You don't always have to be, like, better than Garth Ennis or Jason Aaron. Punisher Max was also really great. But, I think it's hard because he kind of was known. He's known for it. He's famous for it. I think that, like, when Punisher killed the Marvel Universe, that was a very epic, fun thing to do. Like, it was very shocking to see him kill all the superheroes and do that stuff. And they also did that with Wolverine when he killed everybody. That was fun. Deadpool. They do these things in Marvel to sell books and to kind of push ideas and make fun choices. Punisher, his character is that he kills people anyway, so, like, I don't know. You can just kill other people. It doesn't mean he has to kill everybody. You know, you can just kill a couple.
But I saw Punisher meets Archie, or Archie meets Punisher is coming out.
Yeah. They've done that before, and it's, you know.
Right.
But I think
is he going to kill Archie?
I hope so. That would be glorious.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, buddy.
But what's really cool about the Punisher character, I think you bring a good point, is that we have different writers doing it. You see a different spin. I think the Garth Ennis take was incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of his because of Hitman
and Preacher. You're also a Preacher guy.
Big Preacher guy. So in some ways, when you get like kind of like T. Coates doing Black Panther, different from Hudlin and different from, you know, from other writers. So it's a good thing in terms of having a new writer bring a different twist to the character, something we never would expect.
Yeah.
So that's
a fine line, because sometimes if you make different choices, you can hate it, you know, especially a character that's so beloved. You know,
I know.
Like the Punisher. Yeah. Cool. Other questions? Oh, man. A lot of hands going up.
Yeah.
Man. All right. We'll go you, then you. Okay.
Wow. Well, we got 5 minutes, Peter.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes. It's got a speed round question. So get ready to start coming up here. We're going to knock them out.
All right. So since you brought up T. Coates doing a run of Black Panther and plenty of talk about the Punisher tonight. Yeah. do you think that there is anything that the current or future writers of the Punisher comics could learn from any of the, as a fan of the Punisher, it hurts me to say this, TV or movie adaptations of the Punisher? Do you think there's anything that they have gotten right that most writers of the character for the comics have gotten wrong?
Yeah. That's
a great question. Thank you for that. We got speed run it, so I think that's the Punisher Marvel TV show was glorious. They really did a great job.
John Bernthal.
Or Matt Fraction when he wrote for Silence is Golden with the Punisher for me. The less he says, the cooler he is.
True.
Yeah, but it was also because, like, what was weird for me is I interviewed Matt Fraction, and he was like, yeah, I'm doing this crazy thing. It's kind of hilarious. He was like, he shoots bullets that turn into knives and then stab somebody as he shoots them. Isn't that ridiculous and over the top? I was like, no, it's the perfect thing. You know, so it's like, you know, one person's like, isn't this crazy? As another person's like, yeah. So, like, yeah, I mean, like, Punisher being War Machine and those kinds of things where it's taking Punisher out of his element, you know, can be a little tough. Also, there was like, we saw like Punisher like in Vietnam, like that cool thing that Garth Ennis did. So like, it, you know, and then, yeah, it's tough. But I think the real thing, like Noel was talking about, is like, what is your take? How are you going to keep the Punisher who he is, but we're going to see him a little differently or see how the stuff that he's doing? I mean, I don't have an answer. If I was writing the Punisher, I would just focus in on him being a badass. For me, like when he's serving justice, when he is murdering people who deserve to die,
yeah,
that's when I'm like, yes, everything is right in the world.
And he doesn't need to say a lot for that. I mean, the greatest storytelling of the Punisher is just watching him
do his thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes me think of that Punisher Christmas story where not a lot of words, but a lot of red. Great. You're up, sir.
As friends of Pete's, I was wondering if you guys could share an anecdote where there was a situation where Pete thought he was so right, but he ended up being so wrong.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of that in my life.
There has been a lot
of
that.
Yeah, there is. I think with my heart instead of my head, and that gets me in trouble a lot of ways.
Yeah.
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 Oh man, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, like I said, I live with Pete and I live with another guy named the dog with three G's. Yep. And the dog was a lot cleaner than both of us, a neater guy. And he wrote a really passive aggressive post it once that said, please clean your fucking dishes, and hung it above the sink, you know, posted it above the sink. Pete then proceeded to tear the post-it into 1,000 pieces and throw it in the garbage. Mm-hmm. And then the dog came home when Pete wasn't there and then dug it out of the garbage and puzzled it back together.
Whoa.
And scotch taped it back to its original state and then hung it above the sink again.
Yeah.
Only to see Pete's reaction, the Red Hulk come out.
Yeah.
When Pete came home and it was hanging up in perfect condition again. Well, in scotch tape condition again.
Yeah. Now, that's funny that you bring up the Red Hulk. because I remember one time I made you so angry you bull rushed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're an asshole.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And I was wrong for that. I was also wrong, since your wife is here. I used to do this horrible thing where I would put Cactus Pete.
Yeah.
In front of your door when you were sleeping and I wanted to party.
Yeah.
So, thank you. Thank you, Melody. So Cactus Pete is this gift that was given to me by my Aunt Marge.
Yeah.
She used to send us gift packages. And you would turn it on.
It was a different time. We're a little racially insensitive now. Cactus Pete with the dancing feet. He had a sombrero and he.
Yeah, he would. It was.
Yeah.
And so what you do was would clap and then it would start singing and making noise.
Yeah.
And so it was really hard to sleep if Cactus Pete was going off.
Yeah.
And Cactus Pete was the wake up, it's time to party time sound.
Uh-huh.
And so
it wasn't time to party, Pete. It was time to go to sleep.
Yeah, I realize that now, but at the time I was wrong. I should have let you sleep instead of waking you up and being like, come on, man, let's fucking rage.
Yeah.
We're young. We don't need to fucking sleep, but you needed to sleep because you usually had a day job or had to get up early.
Was it? Yeah.
Or... Yeah, and unfortunately.
We've gotten off track. But
yeah, I was wrong about that. Mm-hmm. I think I was very wrong to abuse a friendship.
He
like
thought
that.
He was right tearing up the post-it, but he ended up being wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool.
Are we at a hard stop at 9:15?
Well, we should be, but the other show we're on late, so let's
go. All right.
Okay, I was about... now I got two questions. Anyway, when Stan Lee's going to drop dead...
Oh.
Whoa!
I'm getting tired of that guy. Oh, and by the way, is the garbage man going to take out Thanos?
Oh,
the garbage
man could take out Stan Lee, according to that.
Good.
Wow.
I don't know, Stan Lee. I mean, I don't want to. You know, I understand what you're saying. You might be sick of him, but some people are like, "Oh, I'm sick of his cameos in movies." I still enjoy it. To me,
yeah.
It's like one of those scenes where I get to look around the movie theater and be like, who knows? Who knows?
You know, I mean, Stanley is like, you know, the one of the godfathers of comic books. So the fact that not over 90 and still with us, and the fact that he's now seeing decades of his stuff entertaining in a way that's done properly.
Yeah, to watch his stuff come from basements to
exactly.
You know, the big screen.
Why do you hate him so much?
Did he hurt you? Did he get wrong?
I think it's just negative stuff about him.
Yeah.
There's some negative
stuff
about him. Pablo, were you? Oh, no, it was going him and then Pablo. Okay, come on, man.
Pete, what's going on? Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey.
What do you guys think about the objectively the best Frank Castle cosmic Ghost Rider? Are you guys reading Exiles? That's my favorite book in Marvel right now. Like fucking Iron Man's in it, and like Blink. I love they're good. The Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. They're like in the Wild West. I love this book.
Ooh,
Exiles.
Yeah. Give Exiles a little shout out. Yeah. So the kind of like. They did this fast forward time of like Thanos, kind of at the edge of the universe, where Punisher made a deal with the devil first to be Ghost Rider, then killed a bunch of people, was still hungry for souls, and made a deal with the Silver Surfer to then be a kind of like cosmic Ghost Rider, and was just like a pawn for Thanos in flying through the galaxy. Killing everybody. Now it's fun. It's a heightened version of a character we like. And if that was like the regular Punisher, I don't know if I would love it as much. But for a couple story arcs, for a couple runs, it's enjoyable. It's a fun take on something that is kind of obviously like turned up to the max. And it was also in that kind of run they had the Hulk, who was just like this ravaged dog who was just sitting in this big bowl of bones of all the people he ate. Which was fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really got to you, I can tell.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was very graphic, and I was kind of like, man, did a younger version of me write this? But yeah, it was insane, but glorious. Pablo, shout out your question real quick. We got to wrap it up.
Did we give this guy...
We're out of comics.
We're out of comics. We'll get you.
Okay, but this will be quick. So we're going to tonight. So we can get him Batman.
So make a team?
Yes.
Ooh.
With Batman, Punisher, and three other members.
I got this, Punisher.
Yeah. It wouldn't matter. Batman. All of you, shut up.
Well, obviously the Hulk.
The Hulk, and I would love for
the Red Hulk.
Yeah, the whole yeah. Just go through all the Hulks. The Gray Hulk, the Red Hulk. That would be insane. That would be a Jeff Lowe book for sure. I mean...
All the Rage characters, right, for you?
Yeah.
I think, yeah the Hulk. Who else we got?
Wolverine.
Punisher. And Venom. Maybe.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, it's a great list. All right, we got to wrap it up. Guys, thank you so much for coming out. We really appreciate it.
Oh, I forgot to give out the Midtown Comics card. Who would like $25?
Oh, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Is that just your shrine to the Punisher?
Wow.